Thank you, Michel, for giving us the European Commission commitment to the EOSCA. I will ask Adam to distribute the microphones for the questions. Next, we are almost at the end, but we still have some time for questions. Please speak into the microphone because we have a streaming audience also. I will use the time until you figure out your question to ask one myself. I will. I found a common denominator in Ognjen's and Istvan unfortunately had to leave, presentation about the gap, the two-speed Europe, and I would really like to know from Michel, but also from René, because the association is highly involved in planning the next work programs. How is the Commission planning to address this, the gap, the two-speed Europe, the regional collaboration, matching the national funds at the region, etc.? So, Michel and René.
Okay. Well, the characteristic of the EOSC is to go for inclusiveness. That's very important. It's a common principle in the strategic research and innovation agenda of the EOSC. We have a governance structure which involves all the member states, and that's one way to hear the voice of all countries in the governance of the EOSC in the future. Also, we believe that if we succeed implementing an EOSC platform with a nice and wide, rich offering of services and fair data, this will enable, in a way, all countries to access resources that they do not necessarily have at national level. So I think the whole vision of EOSC is to share openly, meaning with all parties in Europe, irrespectively of the level of maturity and the level of service and research infrastructure you have achieved. So that would be my main element of answer. Thank you.
If I were to come with an advice, work together. Work together regionally. If you have like-minded organizations, I think find a good way of working together. Look at ESC Nordic as an example. It's very easy for me to say, coming from the Nordic. But my experience from Nordnet and other entities like that is that if you have a common ground, talk to each other, look at the big picture, work together, and maybe put some of the minor things a bit aside for achieving a common goal. So I think definitively the Nordic had benefited. The five very small Nordic countries and the Baltic countries had benefited from working closely together. I would highly recommend others doing exactly the same thing. Thank you.
Thank you. And questions from the audience, please. Yes, Arjan.
Hi, this is to René. René, we are speaking here for two group of countries, EU members in our region and non-EU members. How is the strategy of ISOC? Because we know by Jean that we have some problems regarding the services which we offer in the future. We need to tender in the national level. Isn't a strategy that the association take these services and deliver to us directly with direct contract, not to go through procedure because we need to do this procedure in a national level?
I don't see ESC Association as an operational entity in that sense. I think there are others that do that better. But I see us as a coordinating entity, helping out on that, both on best practices and also help actually pull towards a common goal in that sense. We will not be a shared service provider as ESC Association. That is not the intention. We had a big debate around that, around, for instance, for the procurement, if we were going to participate in procurement, and we decided definitively not to, because we prefer to be the voice of the community, prefer to be the voice who can help pushing in a common direction and not having a hidden vested, or maybe not so well hidden vested interest in a specific position. So we will help you. That's also one of the reasons why we have and work on these regional events, because I think involving the countries, not just involving the Commission, but I think the countries will have a very big role to play. I worked a lot with different levels of government, and in different regions there are less commitment that I've seen from the Hungarian side in that sense, and we need to awaken the national governments and the national resources and investment in that. But we will help you coordinate that and put it on the agenda, one of the reasons why we do the regional tripartite event. Okay?
Thank you, René. Any other questions? Elias, and then Emir.
Hi, thank you for the presentations. I would like to ask a question to Mikhail, René, and Ognin. So, as we saw in the presentation of Michela, the second phase of IOSC, IOSC will go also to industry and to public bodies. So how we are dealing with the public data from the public bodies, for example?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just the microphone. Who wants to?
So for the time being, the focus is on the researchers, let's be clear. Further complexify the issue of IOSC if you start opening to the commercial sector and the public authorities. So we first have to succeed with the researchers before reaching the next step. I think that's the stage approach that we always agreed upon, and that actually was also part of some council conclusions in 2018 on the IOSC. So we stick to this. 2025 will be, of course, a key element. Hopefully we can take this decision to open up. Meanwhile, I don't say that we are doing nothing with public authorities, nor with the commercial sector. Just to mention the IOSC Future project, there is there an element of activity on an innovation hub to support some SMEs to try using resources coming from the IOSC. That's one example. We are also in Horizon Europe through our work program supporting the five missions. So Horizon Europe missions, we do it step by step. We started with the mission on cancer. In 22, we supported, we hope to have a kickoff soon, on actions related to oceans, seas, and inland water, and so on. Climate is the next one, and we will cover the five of them in any case. So the idea there, I mean, you know the missions. This is really about an approach which is not only about research. It's about really, for instance, working with cities. If you think about climate, there are clear targets for some cities, and there is a network of hundreds of cities committed to this. Through these projects that we are funding, we hope already to have very nice use cases of combination of research data together with public authority data. So I think a stepwise approach based on use cases is advisable, and this is starting already now. Thank you.
I would advise in that sense, coming from a country that is actually is pretty good at interacting between researchers and private companies. I've seen that both within renewables, I see that within robotics and other things, and it's really a benefit. I think the biggest hurdle we have to overcome there is also cultural, because it's, from a researcher point of view, these commercial guys are a bit intimidating, and the commercial guys think that the researchers is a bit difficult to work with. I think the cases where I've seen it, where people get together, there's a huge benefit for both the society and for the researchers and the commercial. And in the end, we are also here for the benefit of our society, that we could become better and growing our innovation. It's one of the places where US, unfortunately, is very, very good at doing it. The distance in US between research and innovation and companies are extremely small. There we have a huge challenge and a huge gap to fill in Europe, and we need to work actively on that. But I can say from my point of view, for what I've been seeing, it's a benefit for everybody in the end.
Yeah, I don't know about the commercial part. I mean, it is a bit difficult now to have the access of the industrial and SMEs to the publicly funded infrastructure. So one key here for everybody to work together is to look at the access policies of publicly funded services for industrial players. So that's maybe the public sector is a bit easier, yeah, because in the public sector, okay, you can get to work with the government to open up their data or feed the open research data to the government to make informed policy decisions. Yeah, so there is, for example, the Skills for EOS project, which was has kicked off last week, which has some interaction and training of the civil servants and the public bodies how to use the open open science produced results for informed decision making. Commercial side more a little bit more difficult than the I think the public sector.
Thank you, Emir.
I just wanted to ask, is there alignment between the strategy for EOSC and EuroHPC as a really big research infrastructure that will be offered to basically the same community?
Who's going to take it?
Again. Yeah, so there is a little bit of a strange situation there because the capacity provisioning theoretically could come from your HPC. So you could say that a lot of capacity could be available there rather through the PIN for the capacity. So it is a soft, it is a tricky question. But then again, the HPC is targeting your more, power users, whereas the long tail of science could be what is catered for in the service provisioning within EOSC. So there could be that kind of line there. I don't know. René, you want to say something?
I think the distance between HPC and other users is going to decrease. I think HPC will, your HPC will not just do the big computers, but will have to do others, because what is the center here is data. The big data sets, you don't want to move too much around. So you want to have computation close to where the data is. So I think we will see a expansion of that. With respect to back to the commercials in that sense of discussions we had before, I think we need to get a little bit away from being so nervous also supporting some of the European commercials. They don't do that on the other side of the pond, and that's one of the reasons why we are so dependent on US-based technology. So I think we need to be more flexible. We had the discussion in the networks as well. If just one research in the end is on a university, even if there's commercials in the other end, we will support it in that sense. So I think we need to be more flexible on that part and not have such a clear distinction between this is public and this is private. I think it's hurting our European innovation at this point in time.
Yeah, that could be almost a good wrap-up of the session, these kind of two messages of the convergence of the public and private, indeed. Yeah. So this gap has to be closed, and also this closing of the gap of the user communities between HPC and EOSC. So there has to be a synergy somehow very soon, within a couple of years, between these two fields, not to diverge, yeah, these two provisioning, let's say, branches. Yeah.
One last one, Branko.
Okay.
Oh, no, Branko. Not joking.
Branko, go ahead.
Thank you. It's not a question, but just a comment, perhaps proposal. It is about bridging that gap that we have discussed. I think that the public sector, governments, regulators should also help putting together researchers and the industry. For example, with regards to access to open data, data linkage, regulated access to anonymized population data generated by governments, which is sometimes unavailable to researchers, or if it is, it stays in research. So this kind of stimulation, governments setting up a framework for this kind of linkage and bridging the all the hurdles is also vital.
Thank you. Thank you. On that note, I think we can close the session. A big round of applause for our speakers. They are here. Please use the opportunity to talk to them. Thank you.